Okay, I want to have every child come up here that's, if under, let's say, 12 years old. 12 and under. Every child, 12 and under. By the way, I want to say thank you to Audrey and two of her granddaughters for coming up here and doing all of this. We're so blessed. Every year you just fix everything up so beautifully. Thank you so much. And we enjoy the benefits of it. Oh, come on. There's got to be more than just these under. Today, really? Oh, yeah. Chuck was climbing up on the ladder. You okay, Chuck?
No.
All right. Now, I have a question for you guys. Okay. Hey. She knows the answer, I know. Okay. I want to ask you, what does the word peace mean? Oh, well, look at this. Okay, what does it mean?
Sitting down and doing nothing.
Is this on?
Test, it is.
It was sitting down and doing nothing? How many of you like to be at peace like that? Okay. All right, Toby.
Love.
Peace is love. Okay. Well, how about you, Sal?
Peace is no craziness going around.
Okay. Rilla?
Quiet, comforted, I think.
Quiet, comforted. Okay.
The opposite of chaos.
The opposite of chaos. I really don't know what to say. Amen. Okay, well, the opposite of chaos, quiet, comfort. Okay, sitting down and doing nothing, all of these. Thanks, kids. You can go back to your seats now. Amen. Now, you know, I don't have real good hearing. But when I asked those kids to come up here and then I asked him to start to talk about what is peace, I heard some hearts beating real loud out there. Kind of like, you know, what are they going to say? No fighting around our house? Mom and Dad wouldn't yell at each other? Our neighbors wouldn't? You know, what is peace? Well, you know, when we think about this time of the year and Jesus coming and being called the Prince of Peace. I'd like us to look at some scriptures and just for a moment. One is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is one of the verses that we look to many times around Christmas time. Isaiah 9, 6. Did I say 6? 9, 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When we think about this time of year, the advent of Christ and peace, a lot of times we have different ideas of what peace is. Just like the kids. Peace is sitting down and doing nothing. I kind of like that. That's the first time I've heard that, but it's original and it's good. I like that. Peace is sitting down. Honey, this week let's have a lot of peace. Okay? Sit down and do nothing. And that kind of describes peace in a way, I guess, if you're resting. But children look at things a little bit differently than we do as adults. Sometimes they look at things more purely than we do. If you think about it, peace is really sitting down and doing nothing in terms of obtaining your salvation. Peace is resting in God. It's not doing something yourself to get redemption. It's not earning it, but it's resting, sitting down. I wonder how many of us are sitting down on the inside. A lot of times we look like we're sitting down on the outside, but we're standing up on the inside. I've told you the story about the father and his daughter, I'm sure, but I'll tell you again because some of you may not have heard it. Father and his daughter were going someplace in their car one day, and this is before they had to have seat belts, and they had the old bench seats. How many of you are old enough to remember that? Okay, you're old. And the daughter was next to him, and he told her, honey, sit down. And she remained standing. So he says, honey, I said, sit down. And she remained standing. And finally, he reached over, and he behind her neck, he pushed her down in the seat, and he says, I said, sit down. To which she looked back at him and says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And sometimes we look like we're sitting down. We're sitting down on the outside, but inside there's all kinds of turmoil and stuff going on. But when we talk about peace, this idea of peace, that he's the Prince of Peace. How many of you listened this last week to Today in the Word with Alistair Begg? I know one guy that did, Keith did, because I met him and we were both listening to the same station when we met here at the church. So, but how many of you listened to him this week on Today in the Word? No, well, I kind of figured Cindy would. Today in the Word's a great program, and Alistair Begg, great preacher from over in Parkside, preached on this idea of peace, and he took it from this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. Luke 12, 49 to 53. You know, when we think about this idea of Advent and peace, you know, we light a candle for peace. Last week it was for hope. We didn't expound on it at all. It was kind of my bad. But this week when we light a candle representing peace, Jesus the Prince of Peace, and sometimes we have this idea that he's going to bring peace into the world. And this is one of the things that Alistair was preaching on, and I really appreciate it because it ministered to my heart. In Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53, he says, and this is Jesus, this is the Lord, this is the little baby that was placed in the manger when he's grown up. He says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. When we think of the idea of Jesus, sweet little Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, he's going to bring peace to the earth, and he will. I don't want to in any way say he won't. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. But his kingdom in its full expression is not here yet on this earth. It is a kingdom that's yet to come, and yet it is also already. Some have used the term already, but not yet. It's already here. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is in you. But the kingdom of God in its full expression has not come. And therefore, peace on this earth has not come. And all we have to do is pick up a headline any day and we'll see that. So how do we as Christians, how do we deal with this idea of the King of Peace saying that he's going to bring a sword and division? Well, We have to understand that Christ came in order to what? Redeem mankind and bring us back to the Father. Now, why redeem us? Because we're slaves in sin. Why bring us back to the Father? Because we were separated from the Father because of sin. And so, I'm not telling you anything new. Anybody that's been in church has heard that. But the fact is, sometimes we think, well, everything ought to be just peaches and cream now. I'm a Christian. Everything should be just hunky-dory, just right. You know, my family should be getting along. Everybody at work should love me. My next-door neighbors, my husband, my wife, my parents, my kids. We should live at peace. But the fact is, that's not going to happen unless the Prince of Peace is ruling in the heart of the individuals that are together. If you have a man and he's married to a woman, and the woman loves God and is passionate for Jesus, and she has a new life in Christ, and the husband has nothing to do with Christ, there will not be a commonality between them. They will, in a sense, be at war with each other. Now, I'm not talking about taking up arms against each other, although sometimes that happens. But I'm talking about being able to dwell together in harmony. The scripture says it this way: can two walk together unless they're agreed? Well, if I say as an individual, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ came and yielded his life as an atonement for my sin. And he died and he rose again and he is the Lord. And he's coming again. If I say that and I believe that in my heart, and I live according to that truth, I live according to the truth of a ruling Christ, a reigning Christ, Jesus who was and is to come. If I live with the reality of that in me, and I base my decisions, if I base my choices, if I base my relationships and how I deal with relationships according to the truth of Jesus Christ is King, then I will automatically be in conflict with anybody who says Jesus Christ is not King. Jesus Christ does not rule. Jesus Christ is not Lord. So there's automatically built into our faith, built into what we believe, there is automatically strife. Not strife with God. Why? Because the scripture says that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. His peace comes to rule in our heart. His peace directs our thoughts and our steps and our attitudes and our actions. His peace, his presence, his help, his concern, his love directs our steps. But that's not true of the person who does not have Christ. They are directed by their own desires, their own will, their own wants, their own thoughts of what is right or wrong. And more, as we see in our culture, we will see more and more of a division. And the reason I say these things is not to bring fear to anybody. It's not to in any way cause us to be afraid. Not at all. But the reality is, if you think one thing and the reality is different than what you're thinking, you can be terribly disappointed, let down, frustrated, even to the point where you think maybe God has failed me. One of the things that Sherry and I have learned in ministering to couples, and the reason I mention this so many times is you see where people are at a lot of times in life and in their relationships. The closest relationship is marriage, right? Other than the relationship with the Lord. But this relationship between two people, expectation is a great thing and it's also a bad thing. Expectation. Let me show you what I mean by this. If I have an expectation when I get married, for instance, when Sherry married me and I married her, both of us had expectations. This is the way it's going to be. How many of you, when you got married, you had an expectation? This is the way it's going to be. And now you find this is the way it is. The idea is this. Anytime you have an expectation of the way it's supposed to be, but then the reality proves out to be different than the expectation, the more you'll discover that you have anger and frustration and a lack of peace inside. Here's why. If I have an expectation, my wife is going to be this way. This is the way life is going to be. This is the way we're going to raise our kids. This is the way we're going to do our finances. And now I have this expectation. If I'm just a little bit off and the reality, the experience, is a little bit different, there's not a lot of frustration. But if I get over here and the reality, the experience, is totally different than the expectation, what happens is in my heart, there is a turmoil. Now, take that over into the life of a Christian. If you're expecting Jesus to bail you out of every situation, if you're expecting on this earth right now, everybody, it should all be peaches and cream. Everybody should be getting along. And anytime you hear people tell you everybody should be getting along, they are not taking the gospel seriously. Because the gospel said that there is a great divide. Those whose allegiance is to Christ and to his kingdom, to his righteousness, those who align themselves with him and those who align themselves with this world. Christ in this world, though he came and he gave his life for this world, people, this world and the world's ideals, the world's mentality, the world's goals are totally different than his. That's why when a person comes to faith in Christ, they come into a new life with a new Lord, with new goals. My goal is not to have happiness on earth or peace on earth. My goal is to love God with all of my heart, and in the process of that, he brings peace into my heart. He brings a contentment. He teaches me how to be content in every situation because I know he is the sovereign Lord who is ruling, that he is working in the affairs of men, that he is in history and he's not outside of history in some crazy way. He is working in history to bring about, yes, peace on earth, eternal peace, a new earth, a new heavens, wherein dwells righteousness. He's in the process of doing that. Now, if I'm joining him in that journey, if I'm wanting to see that happen, if I'm walking with God, hoping and desiring, and when I say hoping, not like oh, I hope so, hoping with an expectation, this is going to come to pass. When, I don't know. How, I don't know. But I know that God has promised and he will not break his promise. And he's promised to be with you and with me through every situation of life. And I'm trying my very best as a pastor to prepare us as Christians for the days that we live in. Not to have some false expectation that you're going to be loved. Now, that doesn't mean you walk around and you try to be some bitter, angry, self-righteous person. Not at all. We walk in the love of God. We walk by the love of God. We walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. And his Spirit fills us with what? Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, right? All of those things, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all self-control, all those things should be in our life. But guess what? The world is not going to like that. When you begin to bless those who curse you, it does something strange. It causes a person to either say, what is going on? How can you be that way? How can you live that way? And it either causes them to be curious because God is prompting them and dealing with their heart, and he is drawing them to himself, and they're going to say, man, I wish I had that kind of a peace in heart. I wish I had that kind of a... Or they're going to be repelled by you because your godly righteousness, your life in Christ, is going to be a light, just like we sang before. It's going to be a light that exposes what their heart is like. Their heart is not at peace. Their heart is not at rest. Their heart is not filled with love and kindness. And either they will desire because of the drawing of the Holy Spirit, or they will resist because of their will to remain the same. And when they resist, they will hate you. That's why Jesus said these words. Listen to me. The promises of God are all yes and amen. Would you agree?
Yes.
Every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said this, if they hated me, they will what? Hate you. Now, that doesn't mean we'll walk around looking with a chip on our shoulder, looking to be hated. No, we're supposed to be his ambassadors in this world. But when we talk about the Prince of Peace, we have to understand that it is an internal thing right now. It will be an external thing in eternity. When I say external, it should be external in our lives now. People should see the peace in our life. But what I'm talking about is the world around us. And every time you hear people talk about peace and safety and we're working for, I mean, if I hear one more time on a Miss America thing, what's your hope for the world? World peace. Come on. World peace? Do you know why the United Nations was started? For world peace. Do you know what's on the United Nations? You know what the is emblazoned on the United Nations? What the there's a scripture, if you didn't know that, that's on the United Nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. That's a scripture that was put upon the United Nations. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, which basically means you take away war and you have peacefulness. Well, since the beginning of the United Nations, there has been more wars than before. Well, I don't want to get off on that. Peace. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. One, Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. And I like how this scripture goes together because it deals with last week as well. Now may the God of hope. You know, it's kind of funny when you talk about the things I've been talking about, people say, man, that makes me hopeless. No, it shouldn't. We should be the most hope-filled people in all the world. Because we have a king who's made promises and he's fulfilling those promises right before our very eyes. We should be filled with hope because he's the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The peace that we have is not a manufactured peace that somehow we work up. It's not something that we contrive or just talk ourselves into. It is the peace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings peace to the human heart. We can rest in him. But that means that we need to be filled by him, yielded to him. The Holy Spirit brings peace to the heart that's yielded to his leadership. And that means you and I as Christians should daily and on a moment by moment, if you would, be yielding to the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, lead me. Spirit of God, teach me. Spirit of God, quiet me. Spirit of God, give me the grace that I need to live for the Lord Jesus. Spirit of God, instruct me. Spirit of God, calm me. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who gives us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he brings his peace by way of his Spirit. When Paul finishes writing the book of Romans, actually down in 20 verses later in verse 33, he says this, now may the God of peace be with you all. If I was going to say anything today, it would be, may the God of peace be with you all. May the God of peace, the one who brings peace, and at the same time, it's one of those seemingly contradictions, and it's not a contradiction. It's His peace in you in a world that's at war. And it's not a war against you, it's a war against God. It's a war in which the scripture says, why do the heathen rage? Or why do the nations rage? Why do the nations shake their fist in the face of God and say, we'll have any other God, any other religion, any other thing, but there's something about this Jesus. Get rid of him. I was reading an article, I think it was in Minnesota, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on it. But it was a town hall that was going to have their lighting of the tree. I don't know if any of you saw this, but one of the council members resigned. And the reason she resigned is that it had always been the lighting of the tree. And this year they decided to call it the lighting of the Christmas tree. And she resigned because that's religious. That's religious. No, that's not religious. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, but I think all of us in this room, you have seen the changes that have taken place in our world and even in our nation within the last 20 years. If you're more than 20 years old or 30 years old, you've seen changes that you never thought would take place. I want to remind you of something. The Apostle Paul was on his way to a city. He was on the road to where? Damascus. That road, Damascus, or Damascus the city, was the capital of a country. That country was Syria. Christians were first called Christians in Antioch of Syria. Antioch of Syria. Where we got our name from was in the country of Syria. At one point in history, Syria, whether they were all Christians or not, but it was a Christian nation in terms of the numbers of churches, the number of believers. It was overwhelmingly, it was considered the first fully Christian nation, Syria. And again, I'm not saying everybody was a genuine believer. But Christ was honored in that nation. The church was vibrant in that nation. And today, you look at Syria, and there is a religion that's fighting each other, and Christians are almost extinct right now in Syria. What am I saying? Go out and buy guns? No. Have your heart so right with the Lord Jesus, so in tune with the Spirit of God, by your fellowship with Him, by your dependence upon Him, your acknowledgement of Him. Have your heart so right with Him that when He says, and I believe He will be speaking louder and louder to His people, when He says, turn and go this way, you know to turn and go that way. If He says stop, you stop. If He says don't go there, you don't go there. I believe that we are heading into a time in this generation where we need a sensitivity to the voice of God like never before. And I'm not talking about weird way out things. I'm talking about biblical Christianity where we are led by the Spirit of God. For whoever is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So I'm encouraging you, please draw near to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Amen. Audrey, I think it's time to worship the Lord, and then we're going to celebrate communion. I guess we've got to take up an offering too, huh? I don't want to forget that. Granny won't get on me, but Julie will. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. I'm going to ask, even as we're worshiping, I'm going to ask the ushers if they would to, let's just receive the offering while we're worshiping the Lord, okay? That's one way we can give joyfully. Amen.